Okay, boys, it's got to work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't got to go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork, or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry.
Welcome, welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. You know, we all have problems. We do. And let's admit it. When we find that a bad guy is getting his, don't we feel better? Can we all agree on that? When somebody who has just proven himself to be a bad guy gets his. This is right out of the New York Post. Oops, he did it again. Harry Macklow, one of New York City's most brazen developers, has listed his Hamptons home facing exclusive Georgia Pond, whatever that is, with neighbors like Steven Spielberg. He has listed it for $38 million. It's enormous. It steps from the ocean on a beach. There's just one catch. It's uninhabitable. And that's because the mansion that he built lacks a certificate of occupancy, and the new owners will not be legally allowed to move in. Why? Because Mr. Macklow illegally cleared land on the property and built additions without permits, endangering the wetlands, and garnered fines for 21 violations that have not been paid for 5 years. The East Hampton Village officials are saying, nobody's moving into the $38 million house. The off-the-books renovations on his Hamptons home echo his 1985 move to hire a mob-run company to blow up four buildings on West 44th Street in the middle of the night without city permits, hours before the city was going to enforce a ban on raising single-room occupancy buildings. The demolition put people's lives in danger. He paid a $2 million fine, and somehow he stayed out of jail. I'm looking at a picture of this place, and it is literally, I'd say, 75 feet, maybe 100 feet from the beach, and it's in wetlands. And he's asking $38 million, but they're saying it's worth $12 to $15 million. So the whole thing, he spent $10 million on the land, and this house cannot be moved into. It's done.
Man, this is just some rich people bad behavior shenanigans, isn't it?
It is. It is. No, you hear about these people for decades, and I'm not going to get political here, for decades building illegally in New York City, tearing down stuff. You know, it wasn't all mob. It was just sometimes greedy people like this guy.
The thing is, like, people get used to getting away with things. And the more you get away with, the more emboldened you feel to get away with some more things. And then the things get bigger and bigger. And pretty soon you're getting away with this, right? You're just like, I do what I want. I do what I please.
Let me ask you, though. Everybody's heard about building on wetlands, no matter where you live. If you live near a coast or a lake, you've heard about, you can't build on wetlands. He knew that, and yet he said, I understand these people, they're all rich, and they don't want anything disturbing the nature of the area. But you know what? I'm going to buy this for $10 million. I'm going to put up a place that's going to cost me another $20
million. Yeah. Yeah. But, it's the same thing where Amazon.com doesn't pay any taxes. The more wealth you have, the more you're like, yeah, go ahead and eat some cake. They just don't care. They don't care.
Your
guy doesn't care about the freaking wetlands. He cares about his view. It's like that guy in New Jersey that cut down his neighbor's trees because the trees blocked his view of the Manhattan skyline. And then he was salty that the neighbor was like, I don't think so, and got hauled into court. And in on the stand was like, you know what? I'm doing as I please. What are you going to do?
You're exactly right. There's that famous scene in The Sopranos where the Sopranos dump truck from Barone's sanitation that Tony owns a third of takes asbestos and dumps it into, I think it's the East River somewhere, or anyway, into the water. And everybody is just aghast. It's disgusting what you're doing to dump that into water. What this guy built in Long Island is just as bad. He's building on protected property there. He's just as bad as the mob when you get right down to it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, he'll get away with
anyway,
it probably.
Yeah. He's not going to. They're not going to let him. And I'm glad. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Back in May 2016, a woman named Joanne Lefson went to a factory farm in South Africa and rescued a pig. This pig was on its way to the slaughterhouse when Joanne rescued her. And she took the pig and brought her back to a place called Farm Sanctuary, which is a nonprofit foundation that rescues farm animals in South Africa. And she gets this pig home to the sanctuary and discovers there's something very different about this particular pig. So this pig showed an interest in the arts. There's no other way to say it. Joanne liked to paint, and the pig was fascinated and would watch her. And she said, the only thing that this piglet did not destroy or eat was a paintbrush. And I was so intrigued by her interest in the paintbrush. So I thought maybe she'd like to paint. So I modified the brush to fit her mouth, and I put a canvas and some paint in her stall, and the rest is history. That pig became known as Pig Casso and created artworks and paintings.
Oh my God.
Listen, I can't believe you guys have never heard of Pig Casso. She created artworks and paintings that sold worldwide. Dr. Jane Goodall owns some of Picasso's work. Gossip Girl fans, the actor Ed Westwick bought some of the paintings. Rafael Nadal, the athlete, bought some of her paintings. She created so many like really beautiful and kind of mysterious works of art. She was the first animal artist ever to host a solo art exhibition in Cape Town, South Africa. Her work has been exhibited in the Netherlands, in Germany, in China, in France, and in the United Kingdom. People all around the world have stood in line to see Picasso's paintings. And they're really interesting. They're abstract, right? In 2021, one of her paintings, which was called Wild and Free, was bought by a German person for about $40,000, which is a world record for the most expensive artwork ever painted by an animal. Over the course of her painting career, Picasso raised over $1 million for animal rescue from the sale of her artworks.
That's great.
Her last piece of art was called Standing Ovation. And she has, I'm telling you this story because Picasso, the artist, has passed away of old age.
Oh.
You know, they don't live a super long time. And she certainly lived an incredible life as an artist on her sanctuary in South Africa.
Her work is going to be worth more now. Her work will go up in value.
Especially when you consider that she was on her way to be, you know, to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah,
so back in the beginning of October last year, Picasso had already shown signs of struggling with arthritis over the past couple of years. But back in early October, her arthritis was worse and worse and worse. And both of her back legs were lame because her spine had become calcified. Like, she just really was very, very elderly and has now passed away in the sunshine at her little art studio in South Africa. Round of applause for Picasso.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Without a doubt. You know, if I had Picasso I would get a little beret and put the little beret while the pig is painting.
How about respect for Pig Castle? That's not respectful. We're making fun of
Pig Castle.
Yes, it
is. Yes, it's encouragement. It's encouragement.
I think one of those little thin mustaches, one of those little thin French mustaches.
Oh, yeah. That would be good, too. Let me just say, if you're a parent and you're paying $60,000 a year to send your kid to art school, I'm sorry. I know you don't want to hear this story, but we like.
Why'd you gotta call me out like that? Oh my God!
I'm sorry.
Praise. My artist goes to a state school, so it ain't anywhere near that much. I'm going to post a link on our Facebook because the photos of Pig Casso standing next to her work with a big smile, holding the paintbrush in her mouth, stepping back and studying what she's painting. We don't deserve animals. You know, we don't understand them. We don't appreciate that they're sentient. This is an amazing tale. All right, so we'll get that up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
Well, the Pennsylvania truck driver is accused of lighting two of his expensive tractor trailers on fire and then trying to file an insurance claim. Arthur St. Clair is 30 years old, and he owns two Peterbilt trucks. He parked them close together in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, one of them, one was black, one was yellow, the black one caught on fire and then spread to the yellow one. Troopers investigated, and they said, this looks like this was set on fire. And that's when Mr. Arthur St. Clair kind of showed up. And they said, you own these? And he said, yes, I do. What are you doing back here? And he said, well, I parked them close together, and I left earlier, but I forgot my chewing tobacco. And so it's in one of the cabs, and that's why I'm here. They started investigating even more, and they discovered that it was intentional. There was no doubt about it. That's what they're charging him with, $225,000 was the file for the insurance company, and he is not going to be getting that. He is going to be spending a little time in jail. And by the way, the name of his company is Outcast Trucking. Perfect.
A library employee in Carmel, Indiana, told police that the woman identified as Gwen Cornell stood on a bench as she took off all of her clothes and then began walking through the library. Another employee told police that she advised Cornell that she needed to be clothed and that Cornell responded by saying, oh, really? And then walked to a computer station to look something up. The employee said Cornell began talking to a man near the computer. A library patron told investigators that he was sitting at the table when a nude woman approached him, grabbed his anatomy book, and went to a computer to look something up. She then returned the book before leaving the area. When police arrived, they found Cornell sitting alone on a bench with a vape pen smelling of marijuana on a nearby table. A field test confirmed that the material in the vape pen contained THC at high levels. While transporting Cornell to Hamilton County Jail, she uttered that she'd been smoking weed and running around the library naked. Normal library operations resumed and no further incidents. Cornell was charged with public nudity, possession of hash oil, and possession of marijuana, all misdemeanors. I have one question. Where does she keep her library card? Oh, I tell you what. Hey, just call out the number. I don't need to say. Just call out the number.
Yeah, exactly. That
is some strong weed.
I was
going to
say
that response.
You don't get that with weed smokers very much. The nudity thing, walking around. I mean, that's usually meth, isn't it?
You never get it at the library.
No,
I can tell you that from experience. Wow. Let's go to today's moron of the day. This video has been viewed 2 million times. There's a reason for that. 71-year-old Anne Long, she's a grandmother, and she lives in a small town in Wales, and she works as a cleaner at it's kind of like a convenience store, kind of like a neighborhood market convenience store kind of thing. And so she showed up for her usual shift and was waiting outside for the store to open when the person inside the store raised the electric security shutters that cover the entire front of the store. I need you to picture that. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You know those metal guards that come all the way down?
Sure.
Well, Anne was standing maybe a little too close to the security shutters because her coat got snagged.
Uh-oh.
And she got yanked up into the air and was dangling upside down until the shopkeeper inside the store realized what was happening. She said, "I was screaming his name and screaming his name, and thank goodness he heard me and came out." And of course, he looks up and she's dangling upside down, caught by her coat, waving her arms and screaming. And she said, "I remember saying to him, grab my head, grab my head. I was worried I was going to fall because my head was pointing toward the floor." So he ran back inside and hit the button for the shutters and then ran back outside and waited with his arms out to catch Anne as she descended to the ground. She said she was shaken up by the incident a little bit, but not injured. And she's glad that everyone is having a laugh. They now call her Super Anne. And she said, "Don't you know it's the kind of thing that would only happen to me?" And we've got the video. Hit us up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page and you can watch it. That is Morons in the News. Coming up, comedian Billy Bunnell. We're going to take you down the rabbit hole with a little vintage wannabe. And how to deal with your mental exhaustion, which, as we all know, peaks on a Tuesday. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I'm going to do my best with this gentleman's name because he deserves to be shouted out. He's a pilot who works for Vietjet, and he was flying from Taipei, Taiwan to Bangkok, Thailand. His name is Pilot Jakaran Saranrakskul, and he was alerted by a flight attendant, "We have an emergency on board." What's the emergency? He's been a pilot for 18 years, right? What is the emergency? There's nothing wrong with the plane. And the flight attendant said, "I think this passenger is in labor." So the pilot, the co-pilot takes the controls and the pilot rushes out of the cockpit back to the airplane bathroom and delivered the woman's baby himself.
What a captain.
I mean, this is amazing. He said, "This is so exciting. After 18 years of being a pilot, I just helped bring a newborn baby into the world." The flight crew nicknamed the newborn Sky Baby, which is an excellent nickname for your baby. Sky Baby.
It is.
And the chances of going into labor are a lot higher after 37 weeks or 32 weeks if you're having twins. And that's why some airlines don't allow you to fly if you're a twin pregnancy after 32 weeks. They won't allow you to fly after 37 weeks. After week 28, you need a letter from your doctor. But this woman, and the baby is fine. Mother is fine. Baby's fine.
Good.
This woman did not expect to go into labor, but she did. And she certainly did not expect to have her baby in an airplane bathroom, which is the smallest space you can imagine. And she really didn't expect the person delivering her baby to be the captain of the flight. It's just such a great
story. Don't you think Sky would be a good name? It would work for a boy or a girl. I've heard of people called Sky. Wouldn't that be cool? You'd have that story the rest of your life. That's amazing. What a captain.
Sky Baby sounds like the name of a really dark, twisted cartoon on Adult Swim. I think Sky Baby is the best nickname. So congratulations to Sky Baby and the pilot and the mom and dad and the flight crew and all the passengers. What a day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Billy Bunnell.
I have two cats. I never thought I would have a cat. I never thought I would have animals, but life sneaks up on you. So here I am about to non-ironically call myself a double cat dad. My girlfriend wanted a cat a few years back. It was her birthday, so I thought it would be a good idea to take her down to the shelter and look at cats. And in my head, I was like, maybe we'll realize they're too much responsibility and we will leave with zero cats. That's not what happened. We left with two cats. My goal was zero. And we went for the cats. They had a dog room too, but I didn't have a big enough place for dogs. I live in an apartment. I thought it'd be weird to have a dog in there. And there's this weird standoff between dog and cat people that I dislike very much. Dog people are a little more aggressive. Not only do they hate cat people, they also hate cats. Which I think is weird. You hate a tiny little thing that's just hungry? What's wrong with you? I've never seen a dog and been like, get out of here, not cat. Learn to purr. I think the dog and cat people should band together and hate the real weirdos, reptile people. Why do you have a snake? Someone in here have a snake? It's so weird to me. I think if you have to feed your animal another live animal, it don't get to be in the house. That's not a pet. And it only eats weekly. Someone out there is just like, here's your weekly rat, Malachi. I named you something biblical to confuse the devil. That has to stay outside. You guys got snakes? Your body language shifted pretty hard. I thought maybe you had snakes. And I wanted to talk about it, but since you don't, I'll continue with my cat story. My girlfriend's actually the one that realized it would be too much responsibility to have kittens. She's the one that backed out of it. But as soon as I got there and the lady at the front desk said, do you want to go to the kitten room? I knew I made a huge mistake. Yeah, Mr. Can't Feel His Feelings. You want to go to the kitten room? I was like, oh no. It's aptly named. It's a room full of kittens. And when you break through the threshold of the door, your heart grows a little bit. I felt like I was the Grinch giving Christmas back. You remember when his heart was like this? I thought I was having a heart attack. Right when I walked in there, I was like, is this a cardiac event? Cube overload. Yeah, they say the animal picks you. I always thought that was nonsense until that day when I was only in there for 10 seconds and this kitten had Spider-Man right onto my chest and was like, hey, man. I was like, hey. And he was like, get me out of here. There's way too many kittens in here. This is actually inhumane. I would write an email if I had fingers. I said, your new name is Laser. I want to sign for you in blood. Where's the lady? That's how fast it happened. But you don't got to look for a lady because this place is a business. I didn't realize it was a business. She's looking through the porthole so she can make the sale. As soon as she saw me bond with the cat, she just kicked in the door and she was like, you like that one? I was like, no, I love him more than anything I've ever loved in my entire life. I've never felt this level of love before, man or machine. Here's where it got sinister. She said, well, if you like him, that's its brother. And I was like, oh, it is a heart attack. Back him up. Actually, I don't think they should be in a bag. That seems inhumane. Put them in a box with big holes. But I want both of them. And I do not need a DNA test. I can tell they're related because the stripes are similar. That lady made a huge mistake that day because she could have got rid of all the cats if she had just kept pointing. Because I was in a trance. If she had been like, that's its cousin, that's its aunt. That one's not related to them, but it knew their real mom. Give me 100 cats. Mitch and Laser living in my house, living the dream. We had a goldfish before that, but I didn't really consider it on the same level as a pet. And we got it by accident, so it didn't have the same resonating effect in my heart. It wasn't even my goldfish. My friend wanted an affair. He was throwing rings into a bucket. And they're like, you did good. You won. He said, what did I win? And they said, a living thing. It's a weird prize. He said, can I have a stuffed one? And they're like, you did not do well enough at the game for that. Here's one in a bag, and it only has 30 minutes of oxygen in there. You gotta leave the fair immediately and go get it a bowl. Your day's over, no more fried Oreos for you.
Anybody really who's ever had now. One.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. When my girls were little, they won a goldfish at the fair, and they wanted to take it with us everywhere we went. They were like, can we put it back in its bag? Well, no, honey, I don't think it'll...
I won't like that.
But can it come to the store? Have you? And I said, girls, have you ever seen anyone else bring a bag with a goldfish in it to the grocery store? And they thought about that for a minute. And then they told me, no, but we've never looked, which is great logic when you think about it. Billy right, Bunnell, right. We're going to get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry say enough with the cats. It's time to celebrate dogs with the Love My Pup contest.
You're just a doggone diggity dog, on diggity dog.
Enter your pups on the contest tab at BobandSherry.com and you could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Real ingredients, freeze-dried raw, and dogs love it. Get up to 54% off your first order, plus free Tilly's Treasures.
Diggity dog.
Visit DrMarty'sPets.com/Bob.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobandSherry.com.
Who in the world goes out in public dressed like runway models? And if you've ever seen some of the pictures of some of these clothing styles, that are on these models. And of course, all of the models that are shot look so pissed off, so angry. You know why they feel it? You know why they're angry? Somebody did an article about it that accompanied this. I thought it was they were told not to smile because it takes away from people looking at the clothing. But the models have said sometimes their feet hurt so much from the shoes they're wearing, they are pissed off. They are. I'm going to describe to you two items of two looks of clothing for the spring for men in the New York Times fashion magazine. Now, the headline is glossy leather looks ready for spring. There is a guy, he's tall, and he's staring at you, and he looks really angry. He is wearing a white shirt, boxer shorts. It's plastic. His shirt is see-through plastic, and his pants that cover the boxer shorts and go down to his ankle, they are also see-through plastic. And covered, all of that is an open overcoat that is leather, black leather, thin, but black leather. Nothing says spring to me more than plastic pants, a plastic shirt, and a black leather overcoat, which, by the way, drags on the ground. And if you're in New York, there's nothing like dragging your coat on the filthy streets of New York City and then going home. The other one, this one blows my mind. And again, it's with the plastic. This is a picture of a guy, young guy, and he has on a plastic shirt that is tied over one shoulder. So, I mean, you see his chest, his nipples, the whole thing. And black sort of leathery-looking shorts that balloon out with black knee-high boots. Where do you go wearing, even in New York? Can you picture Lamar and me? We'll take those two. Can you picture Lamar showing up with a black plastic see-through shirt and black shorts that are made out of leather that balloon out and boots up to his knees, black boots, and then me with the overcoat thing?
I can see Lamar in that outfit, but he would never be out in public in it. That's like a Friday night thing, and you're really stepping awfully close to some personal stuff here. Now, my husband wore plastic pants, you know, when he was 12 months old and in a cloth diaper back in the day.
Yeah.
Yes. But he's not going to do it again. No.
See-through plastic shirt. Can you imagine anything that is more uncomfortable to wear?
I can't believe we're having this conversation because just yesterday, a catalog came for him from a men's clothing thing called Carbon to Cobalt. And it's very it's Kevin's kind of clothes, but like super expensive. So he never buys anything, but I make him look at the catalog all the time. And he went on such a tirade about how he doesn't care what the trends are. He wants shorts that have an 8-inch inseam. He doesn't want a 10-inch inseam because he's not a golfer and he's not at the golf course. And he doesn't want a 6-inch inseam because he's not wearing booty coaches shorts. He wants an 8-inch inseam, by God, or else. And he just went on and on and on. and he's not giving in to trends and styles. And I was like, well, then I don't know what to tell you. I guess Land's End it is for you. Because the problem with when you don't follow trends and styles, you can't find anything at the store.
Right.
And you have been there.
You're exactly right. Yeah. And of course, they screw with you because they have you go buy tight jeans or you know, pretty much very thin jeans. And one of the headlines is, big pants are back. And these guys are walking around with bell bottoms. And I'm not doing it. And people are going to say, oh, look at that guy. Look at that guy. Boy, he's about 2 years out of date. I'm with Kevin. I'm not giving up thinner jeans for baggy pants. I'm just not doing it.
You know what? Let me say to you what I said to him and what I would say to anybody. Wear what you want. What do you care what anybody else thinks? You were born alone. You're going to die alone and ain't nobody going to remember your name. So if you want to wear the kind of pants that make you happy, you get those britches out the drawer and put them on.
Well, there okay. we are back with Lamar again, putting on his black leather baggy shorts.
Ashes, dust.
And can I tell you something? You would be surprised at how cute Lamar looks in his little leather sexy bloomers. You would be amazed. Not that you'll ever know.
I'm not going to be intimidated by that. No.
You should be, though. No, I'm telling you.
That outfit with me in it would remind you of a bit of a sausage that you left on the grill too long and it sort of exploded. You know what I'm saying?
If I walked into the kitchen with a plastic see-through shirt on, my wife would say, "Leftovers again? We're having leftovers again?"
Yikes.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
Oh, here's a little treat. The vintage version of that classic anthem, Wannabe. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Tell me what you want, what you really want. If you want my future, forget my past. If you want to get with me, you better make it fast. Now don't go wasting my precious time. Get your Was that not that so much clever. Fun?
That is so clever. What harmony. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I liked hearing that as a novelty, but I kind of missed the grit from the original, that it was just more rock, just more edgy.
What I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig.
Well, I respect your take, Bob, song. Because you're a Spice Girls fan who went to see them in concert. So I think I you have the most credibility here.
I still
and
love
what you
Spice.
Say goes.
You were really fascinated with one of them, weren't you?
Baby Spice. I like.
Baby
I
Spice,
was very,
yeah.
very interested in her career. It's just a cool song. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
So I want to tell you about two stories that have to do with travel. Have you seen that commercial on TV where they say, I want to go someplace I've never been before. I've never been before.
Yeah.
You always just, you think it's going to be a beach where there's nobody but you and your lover. But sometimes things don't work out. Two different stories. The first story, a guy gets on a plane in Salt Lake City. He's flying to New Orleans. He goes to the restroom. He cannot get out of the restroom. He's banging on the door. He's smashing on the door. The flight attendants are pulling on the door. Everybody is nervous. All of a sudden, here comes the captain of the plane. And he comes out. He's pulling. Another guy comes. All of this goes on. The guy is in there for 35 minutes. Finally, the door is yanked open. Out he comes. And he's met with applause from 200 other flyers. How embarrassing is that to start your vacation? And the second one is, this guy checks into the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas. And then, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, he gets this stinging bite. He said it was like a pair of pliers had just yanked him. It was like somebody stuck him with an ice pick. He started screaming. Ugh. He was taken to the hospital. And before he went into the bathroom. And there's a picture of this online. He looked down, and there in his underwear is the scorpion. His first night in Las Vegas. So the question is,
of all the places to get bitten or stung.
Right there. All I could think of was the first James Bond movie where James Bond is in bed and a scorpion is crawling. I don't know. It wasn't a scorpion. It was some kind of a dangerous bug up his arm slowly. Oh, my God. What a way to begin the vacation. He's going to be okay. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's Talk Back Time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI, or you can download our app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. You listen to the show and all the podcasts and enter contests and tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and just talk, and the app will do the rest.
So I was just listening to the podcast about the woman who is mad about her husband calling while she was teaching because he saw Honey Boo Boo and Sugar Plum and Barry and whoever in the hell else they are. So I was at dance picking up kids, and I was outside my car running my mouth to one of the moms, and we were like, and my husband called, and the 6-year-old picked the phone up, and she's like, he needs you now, dad needs you now, and she kept yelling, he said now, and it made me mad. So I was like, whatever, I'm not done talking. He was stuck in an elevator that had dropped 3 times, and he was afraid he wasn't going to make it, so he was trying to call me to tell me in case something bad happened and the firemen didn't get him out in time, and I was too busy running my jaws about God, I don't even know what. I have no idea what. It was just stupid stuff. And he was trying to call me to tell me, like, I love you, goodbye, in case something happens. And here I am out here running my mouth about complete dumbness. So I now will never, ever live it down. And he's fine. The fireman, after an hour, got him out. he squeezed through the door like on the fourth try, and he's fine. He's a little shook up. He got two free nights at the hotel, but he's never using an elevator again. But I just thought I would call because I thought, wow, that's a coincidence. She got that phone call, and I had an actual emergency, and I was too busy running my mouth.
I saw a sign, a post. I saw a post online the other day, and it were just crazy signs. And one of them was, and it was handwritten. It was on the side of where the button is on an elevator, and it said, "Be sure elevator is there before you step in."
Listen, that's not a crazy sign, because I remember, well, at the beginning of my broadcast career, not too far from where we used to work, somebody didn't look and stepped into an open elevator shaft. And it does, these things never, ever
you
end
know,
well.
I hadn't thought of that in years, but you are right. I remember that happening. And I thought, is this a Looney Tunes cartoon? How could that possibly be?
Because we're, you know, you take, there are certain things, like, it's not that people are stupid or reckless. It's just, there are certain things that you take for granted and you do them sort of automatically on autopilot. And one of them is when the elevator doors open, you walk in.
You get in. Yeah.
You get in. Yeah. And the idea that that there wouldn't be, like, the doors open and there wouldn't be like a place to get into goes against everything you've understood about reality for your whole life. So when I see a sign like that, make sure the elevator's there. I'm like, you betcha. I remember a time it wasn't there for someone, and it
elevators are weird. You know, they are so weird. Historically, have you ever seen in the movies where it's like a black and white movie and it's in New York City and it's in a fancy building and there's a guy that sits on a little velvet stool? And you tell him what floor you're going to, and he presses the button. Can you imagine doing that for a job day and night? Every day you're going to sit in an elevator and say, "What floor, ma'am? What floor, sir?" And you hit the button up and down. There's a job with its ups and downs, up and down, up and down.
They still do that in Japan. They still do it.
Do they really?
Because they have like high-rise department stores. There's no Walmart. So they have high-rise department stores in each level. And so there's a lady that sits there, and she's got like a uniform on. And you tell her what floor. Or you can say, "I want to go to men's, you know, dress wear or whatever." And she'll take you, you know.
I did read that part of the reason for that was elevators used to be so dangerous because of the way the doors were and everything else at one time, that you needed somebody there to make sure for the safety of everybody involved.
Probably the door back then would close on you. Now the door won't close on you.
It was like a fence, a fence door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember those. I remember those. Yeah. God, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. Yeah. I had there was a woman I dated briefly, and she was talking about her hometown. I'm not going to say her hometown. Hometown had about 25,000 people. And the tallest building in the town was 5 stories, and it was the only elevator like for 50 miles. And she said once in a while, she and one of her girlfriends, they're going to Sunday school. So they're like 11 years old. They would skip out of Sunday school and they would leave the church and they would go down to that building and ride the elevator up and down.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Okay, it's time for news of food and drink. And we'll start off with food. Here is a list of the healthiest fast food meals that you can buy. This is from Study Finds, and they pulled together recommendations from dietitians and health experts. So the 5 foods... You're going to a fast food. You're on the road. There's nothing else. You are very conscious of what you eat, and here you go. Number 5 is the Subway No Bready Bowl. So I guess that's just the meat and the cheese and the lettuce and whatever else you can put in there, but there's no bread to it. Number 4, McDonald's Fruit and Maple Oatmeal. No one has ever ordered that. It's there, But no one at who's gone into McDonald's has ever ordered fruit and maple oatmeal. Number three is Wendy's sour cream and chive baked potato. You know, I could see that as being kind of a healthy thing to order.
It's a potato. Yeah.
It's a potato. Yeah, exactly. Number two is the Panda Express bowl or plate. I'm not sure what that is, but it's in a bowl. So, you know, there you go. And number one is the Taco Bell Fresco Crunchy Taco. I don't know why that would be healthy, but for fast food, that is one of the healthier choices. I mean, it's a crunchy taco, but there you go. It does sound
maybe
good.
Because it takes you so long to chew through the shell that you end up eating less than you would have. And so like kind of the math. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's go to the drink. Applebee's has a concoction that is for St. Patrick's Day. It's a St. Patrick's Day cocktail. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of them. This St. Patrick's Day, Applebee's is marking the occasion by introducing a pair of seasonal cocktails they're calling Saintly Sips. The $5 Tipsy Leprechaun is a vibrant green drink combining Jameson Irish whiskey with several sweet liqueurs and sodas. While the $7 Pot O' Gold Dracarita blend has Patron Silver Margarita with Bacardi Superior Rum, Triple Sec, and Mango. Additionally, Applebee's is offering non-alcoholic rainbow lemonades and so on. Now, it sounds very appealing, but this is what you have to keep in mind. If you are getting the $7 Pot O' Gold Dracarita blend with Patron Silver Margarita mix and Bacardi Superior Rum, Triple Sec, and Mango, right after you drink that, you have to order their food. That's kind of the down. I'm just kidding. I'm sure. I haven't been an Applebee's in a while, but I'm sure it's fine and all that. So there it is. I mean, would you pay that for the pot of gold? $7? Does that sound good to you?
Seven,
you like margaritas?
Can I just say $7 for a big-ass cocktail seems extremely reasonable to me, Bob?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where you're...
I know.
I don't know where you're
going. I
hadn't
had a $7 cocktail
in
a while.
I know you do your drinking at home, but if you go out to a place and pay for your drinking, a $7 cocktail seems... Hey, Lamar, how about it? Like,
I'm headed that way.
Could you never again say you do your drinking at home, Bob? You know, that didn't sound right. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought of that when I was looking at it. $7 is cheap.
Where have you been,
when
Chief?
Did cocktails become $12? When did they
$12?
Years ago.
Lamar, have a word with the man. Have a word with the man at $12.
Have you not been out? Go out sometime, Bob. Get out of the house.
I don't get
don't do your drinking at home. Quit doing your drinking at
home. I don't get out much, but a $12 cocktail would be like, oh, that's a bargain. I'll take two. What?
You know, I'm trying to think. Okay, I had a what was it? It was a martini, and I you know, you're right. I paid $15 for the martini.
Yes,
at a restaurant.
You did.
I'm so glad I didn't drink.
I know.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah.
If you look at the menu, and you're going to have a cocktail and a glass of wine in a pretty good restaurant, and you both have an entree, your bill's going to be over $100. Easy.
Oh yeah.
Easy. $100 used to be holy smoke. Let's celebrate our engagement. But now, you know. It's like $100, $120. And then you have to tip, and you do have to tip. So, Applebee's, I guess I have to salute you. I'm sorry I, took a little swipe there because these two were right. The $7 Pot of Gold Dracarita blend sounds pretty good. $7. It's Bob and Sherry. Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this.
I believe this.
A Tuesday feels like a very good day to talk about mental fatigue. because a lot of workers, that's the kind of tired that you are, not physical fatigue. You know, unless you have a very physically demanding job, your body just is sitting at a computer, but your poor brain is exhausted. So they decided to find out, like, what can be done to help people with mental fatigue? Because how many times have you said, or to someone you know said to you, my brain is so tired, I can't even think straight. What do you mean, what's for dinner? I don't know. I can't remember my last name. Like, my I am just mentally exhausted. And I remember when Lamar first joined us full time, after about 2 weeks, he was like, y'all, this is very exhausting. I did not know that this was going to be so exhausting. Part of the reason for that, they think, is mental vigilance. And we're going to go all the way back to something psychologists did to soldiers in World War II. They had this experiment that was designed by a psychologist named Norman Mackworth. It's called the clock test. And if you're a person who watches like a lot of the Military History Channel, you may be familiar with this. So they had these soldiers who were participating in this sitting in a room, and there was a very big clock on the wall. And for up to 2 hours at a time, the soldiers were instructed to watch the clock. And so the clock would just keep time, right? The second hand would go along at regular intervals. But every once in a while, and with no predictable pattern, that second hand would jump twice the usual distance. And so the soldiers were told, watch the clock and note any variations. And so for the first 30 minutes, all the soldiers did great. But after that, the performance declined and declined and declined. And they came up with the idea that human beings, even highly trained military personnel, human beings can only maintain mental vigilance for a short amount of time before we decline and start making mistakes. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It is.
That 30 minutes before these trained military officers were screwing up. 30 minutes. And if there's ever a creature trained to be very attentive to their surroundings and to not daydream or drift off, would it not be an officer in the military?
That's the hope.
I mean, remember when Landon was little and playing t-ball and was out in left field picking daisies? Yeah, right. That's not who we send to run armies when we're at war. No. And yet these people could not maintain vigilance. They were stressed. They were tired, even after a brief task. And in 2021, when we had all this new technology and brain imaging technology, we repeated the clock test. But this time, the volunteers were hooked up to brain scanning technology. After like 30 minutes, blood flow decreased to the brain. So it's not your willpower. Your human body is not designed to be hypervigilant hour after hour after hour. So what do you do? Because we live in a world where little kids are in school for 8 hours a day, sometimes longer. And we get so upset with them when they daydream or look out the window or stop paying attention when they fidget. But little kids can't do what trained military personnel can't do, because our brains aren't wired for it. So if you think that after about 2 hours of crunching the numbers at your job, you're ready to just crawl under your desk, you are not alone. So what's the answer? It's really simple. You have to set short, easy, attainable goals and work toward those goals. So you come in, you sit down, you have all this homework to do, kids, or you have this giant task in front of you at your job. You have to pick something that you can complete in like 25 minutes. That's my goal. So I'm going to answer all of the email that came in last night. And then at the end of that, you have completed a goal. And the act of completing that goal resets your brain.
How does that
fascinating?
I can't. It is. I question that it would take away the fatigue that you have if you are performing, you know, somewhat.
The task has ended. But that's the thing, Bob. The vigilance.
It's just one. Yeah.
It's just one task. Text. But that task has ended. And now you have a little pat yourself on the back. I did it. And then you start toward your next goal. And you just divide your day up into these little goals. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. Instead of staring at the clock for hour after hour, like those soldiers did in World War II, you bite it off in little short bites. And that sounds like the kind of advice that your meemaw gave you back in the day, right? Because it is the kind of advice your meemaw gave you back in the day. But now we can back it up with science. We'll get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Hey, how would you like to go bowling naked? Yes, it's going to be happening at the end of April in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh area nudists are hosting another. I'm not comfortable really telling you the name of the event, so I'll just go blank out. Bowling. Blank out bowling. You can probably figure that out. Where you bowl in the nude. It'll be at the Crafton Ingram Lanes in Pittsburgh on April 28th, which is a Sunday. The event is for anybody who is over the age of 18, whether you're a seasoned pro or a beginner. This event, they say, is for everyone. Nudity is required, with the exception that women can wear bottoms. Also, obviously, being frisky is going to get you thrown out of the place. Those running the event say nudism does not equal consent and harassment will not be taken lightly. Violators will be thrown out of the place. No photography or video is allowed.
Question.
Yeah.
Do I have to wear the ugly shoes still? If I'm naked, do I have to wear the ugly shoes?
Yes, you do.
That's what I was wondering, and I think you do. Yeah, those green and red shoes. Yeah,
I would almost go naked if I didn't have to put the shoes on. I mean, I
really
would. But
is that
no,
right?
No, yeah. Not with the shoes, no.
That has got to be a spectacle, and one that I couldn't do for PM Magazine, probably. I just can't imagine.
I'd sure like to see that opening, though, with you and Maura. Holding your bowling balls very strategically.
Yeah, right there. Hey, everybody. A little something different for you tonight.
I think one ball would cover it, Sherry.
Can that man get his wood? Well, we're going to find out tonight here on PM. Isn't it?
See, there is no event. Yeah. You were born for that job. That was
Thank
what
you.
God put you on Thank this earth for. There is no event that you could not do a convincing intro for.
Yeah, that's right.
You're
the
master.
People will be saying he only needs one bowling ball for that. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I scratched my eye several days ago. It was actually almost a week ago. It's very, very sensitive to light right now, and it's just made reading miserable
and
here.
We do, the bulk of our job is reading.
Yeah, it is.
Like we read so much
so
stuff.
So much stuff. So that's Bob, going on with me, and
so
then
Bob has lacerated his cornea, and he's like, my eye! Well, for the past, 10 months, I've been going through this epic situation involving like my jaw and oral surgery, the legacy of childhood neglect come due, right? And it's all going to be fine. And people are dying every day. This is not a big deal. But I had to have another oral surgery after work the other day because it was the day that I was supposed to do it. My surgeon got called for jury duty. And that was on a Friday. I was supposed to have it done on a Friday and then I would come back to work on Monday. But he got called for jury duty, and they had to reschedule it.
Don't you think that a surgeon with jury duty should get a pass?
I
know it's
like
a
it.
Civic duty and all that, but
So they reschedule it, and I needed to have it done. It was the second and third of multiple procedures, and I needed to get it done. So I was like, let's just do it. We'll do it after work, and I'll go to bed, and I'll just come in the next day, and I'm sure it'll be fine. So I came in the next day after my surgery, which was 2 days ago, with a swollen face, an ice pack on my head, no pain medication because I couldn't drive, and drooling blood on myself. And so I walk into the studio, and Bob's putting drops in, and he goes, my eye! And I walked in, and I said, I can't talk! And Max and Todd looked at us. And we were like, you know what? we think this might be actually really good for our career. We're going to launch a whole new show.
It's The Odd Couple.
Are we going to have some breakfast here? I smell it, but I can't see it. Where's the food?
It's waffles, but I can't chew it.
You can't chew it? How about if I chew it up for you? I'll soften it for you a little bit. I can't see it, but it smells so good.
No.
For a while, I was, and this is the biggest D-bag thing that you can possibly do. The light was really hurting coming through this big wall of windows that we have here. And I went up to the car and I got my sunglasses. And I'm inside wearing sunglasses, which, as everyone knows, is just, if you're not sure that you're a bag or not, that look in the mirror.
A full bag.
A very full bag.
Hey, Bob, if you put the Bluetooth device in your ear with the sunglasses,
oh, yeah,
then you're completely.
Then
you'll be mistaken for an executive.
Yeah.
Just a second ago when Bob said, we haven't complained, Max rolled his eyes so hard, he dislocated them. We haven't complained when the microphone was on. We have done nothing but complain when the microphone was off. And you were out of... When I first got in today, Max and Todd were in the studio. You were down the hall putting drops in and complaining about your eye. And Todd said, hey, how'd it go? How you doing? And I said, hang on. And I spit out my wad of bloody gauze so that I could speak to him. And Todd deals with a lot, you know? He's a father.
A visual answer is always best.
Gray just broke his nose. I mean, it's not like Todd hasn't seen it before, but to have first thing in your day, your coworker spit out a wad of bloody gauze and then drool and talk to you.
So I came in very early and I forgot the eye drops, which I need because my eye gets very dry, right? So Todd said, there's a super Walmart not that far from here. For some reason, I got up at like 4:30 in the morning. And I thought, I'm going to be very early today, get everything done. So I go over to the super Walmart. There are three people in the super Walmart and a guard. And I go in there and it's so bright. You know,
I can't see.
And I say to the greeter lady, she goes, how you doing, honey? Boy, you're in here early. And I said, yeah, I know. Where are the eye drops? You want to go right down there? It's the other side of the store. She sent me over to where the parakeets are. And that
is where the eye drops are. I know that Walmart.
No, they're not. They're not. They're in the front. So I'm walking around and I'm the only customer. And it's a giant, it's the size of a football field. And I can't find the eye drops. Finally, I track them down. It's so interesting at the Super Walmart when there's no one else there.
I love going to the Super Walmart when there's nobody else there.
This one has a barber shop in it.
I wish you'd texted me that you were going because I would have gotten you to get me some pudding or something.
Yeah, some soft food. Well, they have it there. They've got it there, believe me.
So you've made the right choice here with the Bob and Sherry Show.
Oh, yeah.
He can't see. And I can't chew.
And this is actually true. Sherry, the other day, when she got the first surgery done, she was talking about it on the air. Somebody who was listening said, well, you know, you wouldn't have these problems if you take care of yourself. Herself not loving that comment.
Herself does take care of herself, but, you know, sometimes the things that happen to us early in life, that bill has to get paid
come
at some point.
Come back to haunt you, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it is a big bill.
It is a big bill.
And we have no dental insurance.
Right.
So it's a really big bill. My daughter called me from school and she was like, Mom, I've been thinking about what car I want. I said, oh, I know what car you're going to drive. It's in my mouth. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
She was known as the Giggling Granny. But behind the warm smile of Nanny Doss was the heart of a cold-blooded murderer. In 1954, she confessed that over the course of nearly 30 years, she'd killed 11 people. 4 husbands, 2 children, 1 of her sisters, her own mother, 2 grandsons, and a mother-in-law. The casual killing of her own family members made Nanny Doss one of history's most notorious female serial killers.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
We're sending teachers to Florida this summer. You may have heard about that, to enjoy a relaxing vacation away from the hectic schedule of the school year. If you'd like to nominate a teacher you know, go to bobandsherry.com to win Bob and Sherry swag, and then they will be in the running for the monthly grand prize from Visit Florida. They're great people. Visit Florida to stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort in beautiful Fort Myers Beach, Florida.
Did you know that there are some places in America where you are really likely to get struck by lightning? And then other places where the odds are so wildly against a lightning strike that it would be like winning the Powerball lottery. I guess I always thought that lightning is everywhere, right? So you would have the same odds of being struck by lightning. Did it ever occur to you that there were places where you were really at risk more than others?
Yes, a golf course holding a 9-iron in the air. I don't know. I don't know why, but I always picture the Midwest having a lot of lightning strikes and not so much Minnesota. I don't know why that is. Have you ever been near something when it hit something? Been near lightning when it hit something?
I saw lightning hit a tree and it was like, it happens so fast. And there was such a lag in processing and believing what I had just seen. Because it just, I mean, it's literally like a bolt of lightning. Actually, Florida is the most frequently hit spot with lightning. So here's something that I didn't know. Every year in America, we have almost 37 million ground lightning strikes. That's a lot of lightning hitting the ground.
It is, yeah.
And luckily, most of the time, we don't have like a human being standing in that path. But in Miami, Fort Lauderdale last year, they had over 120,000 lightning strikes just in that one place. So if you want to really hedge your bets, Louisiana has the highest volume of deadly cloud-to-ground lightning strikes in America.
Wow.
That's where you don't want. Do you remember, Bob, years ago there was a man, he was fishing on a lake in upstate New York. I don't think it was Lake Placid. I think he was up near, maybe it was Lake Erie. He was up near Buffalo and he was in a metal John boat and the lightning came and it entered his body and exited through his booty. Do you remember that guy? Like it literally tore him a jagged new one.
Totally. Did we interview him? There was one guy that happened to.
Yeah.
I remember that. And it was a difficult interview to get into thoroughly. But I remember he handled it, and I was interested in whether or not he had extra energy, because you hear about that, somebody that survives one of those, that all of a sudden they are energized in every way you can be, and he said he was.
He was particularly energized in that one way.
Yeah.
Like it turned him into an antlered up dynamo for a period of time. But, you know, the universe, it giveth and it taketh. Because on the one hand, he was pawing the ground and snorting like an elk in rut. And on the other hand, lightning had just torn through his booty. And so he was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he had to control his impulses while sitting in an Epsom salts bath. Like it was not, you don't, guys, well, I guess what I'm saying is, guys, do not go out in an electrical storm and hold a metal rod aloft.
Don't
in
do
the
it.
Hopes of getting Tuna. Supercharged like yeah. this man.
He did. His comment was, I was juiced.
Yeah, that's right. The loudest sound I ever heard in my life. I was in the kitchen of my friend John Lambus's house in Atlanta, Georgia, visiting him. And we were in his kitchen, and the neighborhood, Sandy Springs, I think it was called, is a very old neighborhood and has a lot of oak trees, big 150-year-old oak trees. And there was one right next to his house, right next to the driveway, I don't know, maybe 25 feet away. And it got hit while I was standing there. I remember holding a glass of wine, and it hit. And I thought it was the end of the world. I mean, it was so incredibly loud. Tore that tree up. Absolutely tore it up. And I had a ringing in my ear. And I thought, 25 feet away, and I would have been toast.
Well, I'll say this. If you have lightning phobia, and there's probably a name for that, go live on the West Coast, because the atmosphere of the Pacific Ocean makes cloud-to-cloud lightning. Lightning almost never strikes the ground.
Really?
Off the Pacific, yeah. Which is just like one more. I mean, you were an earth science major, were you not, at Roger Williams College?
Yes,
isn't it amazing when you learn that about our planet? Just the coolest. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
I am so disgusted with myself right now. I went into a department store and there were a pair of pants, exactly what I wanted. And I looked at the sizes, you know, the length and the waist, and it was exactly my size, which I can never find. I always have to pay a tailor if they're nice pants to do one thing or another, usually take it up, unfortunately. And I said to the guy who I know, I said, "Can I try these on?" It was at Dillard's department store. And he said, "Sure, right in there." And I went in and put the pants on, and I could not breathe. I could not button those pants. So like many people, I immediately said, well, obviously these pants are mismarked. This is not the actual waist size of these pants. So I went out and I said, nah, I don't think they really fit for whatever reason. And I don't weigh myself very often, very, very infrequently, but about 6 months ago, there's a scale in the bathroom and I said, I'm going to see what I weigh. And I was about 4 pounds lighter than I was the last time I looked. And I went, wow, this is good. It must be all those walks with Finn. It must be this or that. And I looked at the scale a couple of days ago, and I had gained 7 to 8 pounds in like a month. And I went, what is going on here? And even my regular jeans that I had that fit, we're a little bit on the tight side. I've never had this washboard stomach, at least not in the last 25 years, but I have a little bit of a dad bod, but I've never been really overweight. And I thought that I had nailed it. I thought I had just come up with the right diet, the right amount of moving around, you know, all these steps that I'm looking at all the time. And I thought, what has happened? And after reflecting, one word sums up what I added to my diet that I hadn't had as part of it in years and years. And that one word is snacks. All of a sudden, I went back to, and I don't know why, having some snacks. Could have been winter. Could have been suddenly something clicked in my brain. Hey, you stupid idiot, snacks are delicious. Why don't you go have you a snack? I think it's the combination of adding snacks and eating too late. Like some nights, Mary doesn't want to eat at all. She had a late lunch or whatever. And I say, I'm not getting involved too much here just for me. And so I go in and I get the frozen California pizza, cheese pizza. And I'm watching TV, I'm having a glass of wine, and all of a sudden it's 8:30. Oh, I better get the cheese pizza in. So I'm eating the cheese pizza at about 9 o'clock. And then a little bit later on, what do I want? Just one little ice cream, one little, you know, cup of Haagen-Dazs. How bad can that be? And then I did the ultimate bad thing. I actually bought a bag of potato chips, which I had not purchased in a couple of years. And I started munching on those because of the sweet and salty thing. And that is the only thing that I can come up with. So now I have to deny myself. And I hate denying myself, as you well know. But
I'm just reflecting on a life well lived here for you, because when you said, and then I did the bad thing, I bought a bag of potato chips. I come from a people who, when they say, and then I did the bad thing, it's a felony. So I just want to congratulate you.
Well, it's a felony to my belt.
Well lived. That your the bad thing involves a bag of like dill pickle flavored potato chips and not a weapons charge. Good for you.
Right. Is that available? Dill pickle?
Oh yeah. Oh, don't. Don't. You're not strong enough.
There's no flavor of potato chip that's not available. Lay's makes a biscuit and gravy flavored potato chip.
That That might cut me back on my eating, at least at
You
night.
Say that. You mm-hmm. say that until you taste that. Okay.
It's the snacks, though. It's the snacks and eating later at night, because I move around a lot. I really do. And you just can't get rid of it by doing, I don't know, 10,000 steps. You can't. You just can't eat that crap.
And, calories in, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's so depressing because life is so miserable. Like, snacks and treats are one of the only things that make it worth living, and to have to give them up is so wrong.
It's unfair.
Okay. Hey, keep it here to the Feel Good Bob and Sherry Show. We're Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The podcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So there's this guy named Andrew Bustamante. He was a captain in the Air Force, and then he became an intelligence officer with the CIA. And he was on a podcast recently called The Diary of a CEO. So on this episode, Andrew says that the CIA only recruits people who have a natural talent for being dishonest, and that you can become a better liar. Like, we laugh at that, right? But how are you going to be an undercover agent if you're not good at being a liar, right? He said that, first of all, you can never truly know if someone's lying unless you've long enough to have a baseline of normal behavior. So it's easy for a complete stranger to lie right to your face because you don't have anything to measure it. But he said, in general, and anyone that is a parent is going to instantly recognize all of these signs. People who are lying struggle to sit still. They talk a lot. Well, actually, what happened was my friend's parents are fighting, and so she needed me. But as soon as you start hearing that from your kid, you know, right?
Yeah.
And liars tend to make a lot of statements rather than asking questions. Good liars ask questions, because when you ask questions, you're not revealing anything about yourself. But when you make statements, you risk revealing things about themselves. Oh, and he said, listen to this. Listen, guys, this is unbelievable. If you've ever been in a social situation and somebody there made you feel so interesting, but afterward you realized that you didn't know anything about them, you were chatting with a very good liar. Doesn't mean they were lying to you. But that person who has the ability to make you feel fascinating, and yet you really didn't learn anything about them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's what a spy would do. That's what a spy would do.
Isn't that fascinating? It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.